When we were thinking about this new sermon series on overflow, the power of God and the impact in the world, trying to think of what different natural occurrences that would be able to display some of this overflowing power of God. And some of you might recognize that video from last year in Hawaii, a lava tube where molten rock literally flowing out of the side of a mountain, 2,000 tons per second of rock going into the ocean, just creating this massive steam. The overwhelming, the overflow of power. And you might recognize that passage of scripture from the book of Romans chapter 11, what most call the doxology, and the reality that in God, everything comes from Him. That in God, everything happens through Him. That in God, everything ends up in Him. And through God, nothing happens by mistake. There is no randomness in the world today. There is nothing outside of the realm of God's action or allowance. The truth and the reality, though, is that God does not cause chaos. God does not cause sin. You look at James chapter 1 for that. But what God says and what God guarantees is, I will create order out of your chaos. We call that the gospel. So welcome to our new series on overflow. This is our response to God's super abundant overflow of grace, power, blessings, mercy, authority in the Christian life. We're all seeking to move mankind from chaos to order. Perhaps the best descriptor of this overview of this series going in through the holidays can best be found in the book of Romans chapter 15. In your pew Bible in front of you, it's page 1103. This might be the best way to give you an idea of what actually we're talking about when we think of this idea of overflow. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. This is also considered another type of doxology. You might recall hearing this at the end of worship services in various times in different churches. And as you read this together with me, look at the idea here of what the Apostle Paul is saying. And yes, I'm asking you to read this with me out loud. Now, that's a little departure from the norm, but hey, we can't have everything the same, right? You have to have some kind of differences. And so Romans chapter 15, verse 13, read it together with me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul's goal here is that we overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly is kind of the Greek word equivalent for overflow. And so this morning, we want to begin to look at that, and we want to begin to see, get a glimpse, an idea of what overflow really means in our Christian life. Several years ago, with a ministry team from Grace Bible College, we took a trip to New York City. And in New York City, there's the M&M store in Times Square. Maybe some of you have been there. And in the M&M's, it's one of the largest M&M stores in the world. They theoretically have almost every color imaginable in M&M's. And you can see the tubes that are up there, just dozens and dozens of tubes throughout the store, 20 to 30 feet high, full of M&M's. So we were there in a group of students, and I was standing right, almost looking in this exact same spot. And I watched a little kid. And this little kid was watching the tubes, and he watched people go up with the lever, and they pulled the lever down, and candy would fill the bag, and you could see his eyes big, and parents were nowhere to be found because they knew what would happen if they were there, I'm sure. And so this kid is standing there. All of a sudden, he just bolted to one of the tubes, grabbed the lever, and pulled it. Nothing happened. Now, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, man, a good thing that didn't break. And he goes up, and this time, with two hands, he yanks it as hard as he could, and sure enough, for some odd reason, the mechanism broke, and M&Ms were flowing out of this tube with a massive burst. I mean, they were literally showering this kid who ran away crying, looking for his parents, and M&Ms were flowing. And the rest of the people in the store thought this was Eminem, Nirvana. They all come running to the thing. They're grabbing them. They're putting them in their pockets. And I'm standing there and I'm praying for their souls because they're degenerate humans without Christ. And yes, I confess, I was helping them clean up and I took a few M&Ms and I had to make sure they were real. Put some in my pocket because I needed Christmas gifts later on that season. But the reality of it is, here's this little kid and here's this excitement and these M&Ms were pouring out everywhere. And you might think, well, how is that an illustration? Well, the reality of it is, that was overflow. This kid, yeah, it was a mistake. Yes, he shouldn't have pulled the lever. But those M&Ms were an overflow of one kid's actions that benefited a lot of people before security and staff came into the picture. But the reality and the truth is, this is what God says. This is what God says, my life. My life is a tube of grace with an overflow of thousands and thousands of blessings in your life. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Ephesians 1, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. How many of you know all of them? How many of you think you will ever know all of them? You won't. You will never, ever know all the spiritual blessings that God has. Overflow is an awareness of an abundance and a picture that truly gives to us the idea of what we want to look for in this series. So when you think about overflow, there's actually three different ways that we're going to look at overflow during this series. The first one, and it's actually found in the Bible, the word overflow over 45 times. In the New Testament, it's often translated as abundance or superabundance. And there's three ways that we can look at overflow. The first way is overflow is to cover over completely, to engulf. It's like an overpowering wave. And yes, there's a surfer under there, and the wave is about to cover him over. Perhaps the best biblical illustration is in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses is recounting what God did for the nation of Israel. He made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you. And of course, the army of Pharaoh was dominated and killed by that overflow. But then the psalmist says this in Psalm 69. I wonder how many of you have felt this before. I wonder how many of us have felt this overwhelming overflow in our lives. And the psalmist says, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, for out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what he's saying about the heart is that key word right before that. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whether either in desperation or whether in reality of mercy or harmony with God, either way, the overflow of our heart creates speaking with our mouth. Bursting. Some of us know what that is in a negative way, don't we? You ever blurted out something that you regret later? Pretty sure every one of us have done that. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death. The average person speaks 16,000 words a day. Most of you, or some of you, have already gotten to your limit. I'm not pointing out anybody. 16,000 times a day, you have the power of life and death in the word you speak. And Jesus says, for out of the heart, the overflow, the abundance of the heart, whatever you're putting in there is going to overflow and come out of your mouth. It's that burdensome, that power of life and death, that overflow of guilt and shame and brokenness. That's the first concept of overflow, this overwhelming, oppressive burden, this overwhelming engulfing of our life. The second way of looking at overflow is the use of overflow is to sweep through, carrying with it together. This biblical concept is found in 2 Corinthians 7:4. I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. Now let me just briefly share with you what's happening. The book of 1 Corinthians was really a book written to a very dysfunctional church. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul basically is chastising them for a lot of behaviors they needed to correct. Then in the second book of Corinthians, what Paul does at times is he actually acknowledges, look, you guys changed your way. If you're here for our last sermon series, they literally recalculated the path they were taking as a church, redirecting themselves in the way that Paul could now say, if we can put that back up there, Paul would say, I have great pride in you. You have made an effort. You have made some changes. You have worked. And so Paul says, I am filled with comfort. In all of our affliction, whatever's happening with Paul, he says, I'm overflowing with joy. What that means is that there's a sense in overflow that I participate with the event. I have a picture up there of, unfortunately, I think, actually, is that Ohio State? No, it's Wisconsin. Okay, they're still good. And so it's the idea of, no offense to anybody, apologize. And, here's the guys running. That's what that field. It's the fans crashing the field and running on the field or the court after the games. Now, I'm not advocating that. I know that there's a lot of bad things that can happen, but that's what that word means. It's a sweeping through, a carrying through. It's a burden where we all join together. And Paul says, even though I've got problems and even though I've got struggles, I am overwhelmed with your joy. I'm carried along. I'm overflowing with you in the movement towards something else. There's a joining together. It's a commonality of overflowing joy. And the third thing about overflow is that overflow, how'd that get up there? Okay, that's cool. Just leave that one, leave Conor McGregor up there. You blew that. Now we're good with this. All right, good. Awesome. Now you know what's coming. Ugh. Okay. Pull it together. The third way of overflow is abundance, superabounding, beyond human comprehension. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow, superabound for each other and for everyone else. Each other is the church, the body of Christ. For everyone else is whoever you come in contact with. Who is your mission field? The next person you talk to. And Paul says, for everyone else, just as our does for you. There's an overflow. This third descriptor is the word used most often in the Old and the New Testament. And it's often translated abundance. Your weaknesses qualify you for God's super abounding grace. There's a reality of our life, and that's what Paul is talking about in this concept of super abounding. May the Lord make, the Lord will create in you an increase. And it comes about by the relationship of faith. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, Paul talks about this overflow and this abundance. He says, faith, and this is a quote by Philip Yancey, faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. That's what faith does for us. I'm trusting in advance. This third idea of super abounding grace is I'm willing to trust God in advance because I can look backward in reverse. That's what the reality of faith is. Believing is seeing. The world says seeing is believing. God says, no, no, no. Believing is seeing. We believe, we will see. And there's a truth there of this superabounding reality. And the truth of that is that there's an overflow of who Christ really is and seeks to be in our life. This is what we want to begin as we think about overflow. This overflow, this superabounding reality of who Christ is, who he seeks to be in our life. Several months ago, there were two forces of nature. Cosmic nature that collided in a stratospheric global event. Now, some of you probably aren't MMA fans. Okay, I get that. But in this event, we had Floyd Mayweather Jr., native of West Michigan, Grand Rapids, by the way, and Conor McGregor. The mixed martial arts and boxing for the first time in history come together, collided. Do you know that over Five, do you realize that over half a billion dollars was bet on this fight. A fight that lasted just a little over 28 minutes. Conor McGregor, he only made about 35, 40 million. Floyd Mayweather made over $150 million in 28 minutes. I did the math. The math is $178,041 a second. A second. Every second he made that much money. What's wrong with us, people? Think about it. There's something wrong with the human race to see two men dominating their respective sport and flood so much money into that. Earlier on, Conor McGregor was asked by a reporter as he was starting on. And the reporter said, what is it like to take part in the UFC? And his quote, and I have no Scottish brogue, his quote was, we're not here to take part. We're here to take over. And I want you to look at, I want you to think for a moment that that's exactly, if we could use that and morph into the reality of what is overflow, that's pretty powerful. We're not here to take part. We're not here to just be a part of it. We're here to take over. We're here to dominate. We're here to be more than what you can imagine. We're here to overflow into the world. Did not Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, grew into a man, preached and witnessed the gospel of God for 3 years, suffered and died on the cross of Calvary, buried and rose again. Is that not what Jesus Christ, in a sense, he grabbed the microphone of life and he shouted to the entire world, I did not come here to take part in your life. I came here to overcome. I came here to take over your life. I don't want to just be part of you. I don't want to just be a part of you that you say I can handle on Sunday morning. No, I want to take over your life. I want to be the Lord of your life. We chafe under that in our culture, don't we? We chafe under somebody being Lord over me. It's hard to give up that independent reality. And yet that's what we want to look at when we think about overflow. Jesus Christ is saying, I want to overflow in your life a super abounding grace and mercy and love and power and authority. I want to super abound in your life truth. I want to super abound in your life hope. I want to super abound in your life love. I want to super abound in your life me. But for that to happen, for that cup to be overflowed, you have to turn it from laying on its side to facing up. Because on its side, nothing gets filled. So my question this morning for you is take a moment and pause. What in your life has Christ only been allowed to take a part of? What in your life have you said, okay, Christ, I'll give you this. Now move one step beyond. What in your life is he not allowed take a part of? That is where we seek overflow. The reality of an overwhelming power, an overwhelming flow of God's grace and God's mercy that he gives every second, pouring out the side of the mountain of his love. And for us to receive it, we have to turn the cup up. And we have to face, and we have to understand that Jesus Christ did not come to take part in our lives. He came to take over. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. This is going to be an awesome series. Because while we get the idea of overflow in a generic way, we are so excited to look at it in a very specific, intentional way. And Father God, I'm sure that this morning, even Cameron talked about it in his own life, the overwhelming overflow of things happening to us all the time. Who do we turn to? How do we find the truth? Help us to know your super abounding grace that you seek to give us every second of our life. Help us to know that. And Father God, if there's a person here this morning that all of this made very little sense, but the one thing they do know is there's a gnawing emptiness in their heart. The overwhelming overflow in their life is the burden of sin and guilt and brokenness. And I pray for that person, Father, that the overflow of your grace would superabound in their life. And in their truth and reality is, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That Savior is your Son, Jesus Christ, who you overflowed into the world, who gave his life and rose for me. I want to believe. That's the prayer. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of worship this morning. And we ask, Father, whatever is done, as we move through the week and we become the church to every person we talk to, we ask this in your Son's name, in his overflowing power.